Welcome to Memento Talis, where the dice decide and moments are made. I'm Liv, your lightkeeper, your friend, your adversary, and everyone in between as Game Master. And these are my friends.
I'm Israel, and I'm playing Manny Quinteros, a magician bartender.
Hi everyone, I'm Samantha. I'm playing Maud Florley, who is a medium and also an embalmer at her family funeral home.
What's up? I'm Rachel, and I play Arden Barlow, an investigative journalist.
And this is The Circle, a fragmented glass. We're playing Candela Obscura, a game made by Darrington Press. If you'd also like to join the investigations, you can buy the game at darringtonpress.com. Now let's roll some dice. In the north of the Brindaborn Mountains lies a city nestled in the crook where the rocks meet softy grassy hills. Cascadia is a city born from enterprise where once it was a group of gold miners, now has become a hub of industry, though through the Great War, the great cogs of the machine stagnated. Now that the war is over, the cogs are turning once more. We turn to the city. The dim light of green flickering lanterns illuminate the darkness ahead of a man. He pushes a cart full of liquor bottles that had just been delivered from the delivery boat at the docks. Crash! The sound of glass breaking slices through the quiet of the darkness. It came from somewhere behind the man. He whips around, peering into the darkness with eyes tired from the day. A dark figure moves in the dim light. The man rubs his eyes, unsure if what he saw was real. But as he opens his eyes again, the figure is gone. He's sure he just imagined the figure. Perhaps the noise, too. It had been a long day, after all. As he returns to push in the cart, one by one, the green lanterns of the tunnel flicker out, and he is plunged into pitch black. Above him, on the streets of Cascadia, passerbys will report they heard a man scream, but no one knows for sure where it came from. We turn to a train about 4 hours south of Cascadia later that day. A woman whose face is half stuck in a perpetual twisted grin and scars marring her face from the corner of her mouth to the earlobe is illuminated by the filtered rays of sunshine through the clouds outside the windows of the train. The half of her face that isn't paralyzed in a horrified way is contemplative. Her brow is furrowed over her dark gray eyes, and the other half of her mouth is pursed. People pass her seat, and she instinctively grabs her hood and covers her face even more, retreating to the shadows it offers. She catches the eyes of a passenger who's staring at her face, the scarred side. And instead of turning away, she gives the man, likely one of the many intrepid entrepreneurs on their way to Cascadia, a glare that could freeze the glass sea itself. As the man pales and quickly retreats back to his newspaper, the woman allows herself a small half-smile. She returns to her thoughts as one of her hands thumbs the Candela Obscura pin on her lapel. Another hand taps the tip of her pen on a notebook. She didn't like leaving New Fair. It felt wrong to have ran while the organization was under attack, but good soldiers follow orders, and she took her job as the newly formed Circle's Light Keeper seriously. She would follow these orders, but she didn't have to like it. Now, what are you guys doing on the train? And just to give you an overview of the train, there are three cars. There is a dining car, a sleeper car, and a passenger car.
Manny will be in the dining car. A half-eaten sandwich and chips in front of him. A completely empty set of beer bottles, three of them, next to the half-eaten sandwich, while he's sipping on a fourth. Staring out the window, thinking about everything that's happened over the last week and how quickly everything's escalated.
GM, may I ask what time of the day it is?
It's about afternoon. You probably have, let's just say, about 5 more hours of travel. It's going to be a long train ride. It's about 12 hours from New Fair to Cascadia.
Arden is going to be in the sleeper car in her room on the train, and she's going to be fully awake, just having elected to not leave and socialize with anybody, but she's got a small notebook pulled out. She's seated on the little foldable bed in the train car, and she's looking out the window and filling her journal with some messy entries, just jotting down a bunch of thoughts as she tries to process the events of the previous week, and occasionally also adding in crude little sketches of what she sees passing by outside.
Maud is in the passenger car looking for anyone who will listen to what she wants to talk about her day, and she's got in her lap a few colorful ribbons that she's taken from home and is kind of like mindlessly braiding them together, undoing them, and braiding them together again. A little bit nervous about leaving her family behind for who knows how long this mission is going to be. Is Maeve in the passenger car as well?
Yeah, she's sitting probably just a little bit, maybe a couple rows ahead of you. And you've attracted the interest of a couple other Candela people who are also on their way to Cascadia. Will, he's a soldier, dark-haired man with a well-trimmed mustache and goatee. And Caldwin, a medium. They, them pronouns. They're wrapped in sort of religious clothing where you really can't see much of their, like, figure besides just their piercing blue eyes. And that's about it. For some reason, they have been very curious about these ribbons.
Is Caldwin nearby?
Yeah, they're sitting like you know how some of the seats are facing each other. They're like across from you.
Oh, perfect. So they chose to be sitting near me.
Yeah.
Cool. Is it okay if I strike up a conversation with them?
Sure.
Where is their pin? Can I see it in a obvious location on their person, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say most Candela people carry it, like, you know, kind of hidden on, like, a lapel, or, like, on, you know, a cufflink or things like that. Caldwin has it as a cufflink. Just, you know, very subtle.
All right, then I think Maud is gonna try to open by pulling her own new Candela Obscura pin from the bun in her hair and kind of brandish it in her fingers so that Caldwin takes notice of it. I appreciate that you also have a good taste in jewelry. What is your name?
Caldwin, you know, reaches out, grabs her hand, shakes it, and goes, Caldwin, of Lamplight, the Circle of Lamplight.
Interesting.
And just as you're getting to know each other, the train starts slowing down. It's weird, because you guys are in, like, the middle of the Brindleborn Mountains. There are it's the train tracks, and the mountains come up on the sides. And as the train starts slowing down, you see, outside, four riders on horseback. Their heads covered with red fabric. There's red paint over, like, the horse's eyes, like, just splashed on, running towards the train, getting closer and closer. As they get closer and the train is slowing down, all four of these riders jump onto the train. So you're going to have one in the dining cart, one in the passenger cart, and one in the sleeper cart. Actually, sorry, two in the passenger carts and one in the sleeper car.
Manny pounds his beer, his last one, stands up slightly wobbly, grabs a bite of his sandwich and takes off towards the passenger car. Well, walks briskly while trying to continue to move on the rocking train.
As it's slowing down and as you're walking, one of the riders will come up in front of you, because you know where the trains themselves meet. He's going to slide through that door and face you. Let's turn back to Maud and Arden, see what they're doing.
Being that I have kind of kept myself isolated in my room, how aware am I that the train has been boarded by these riders?
You're probably not terribly aware. Like, you notice the train slowing down, and that may, like, do you think that's going to tip off Arden?
I'm going to say yes, because I think Arden typically is someone who's pretty aware of her surroundings, and if this train seemed to have been going at a steady pace to its destination and this was an unexpected, unannounced stop, she would definitely be suspicious.
Okay.
So that being the case, Arden's going to quickly finish writing the sentence that she was in the middle of forming into her journal. She's going to look up and glance out the window, notice that the train has, I assume, now come to a complete stop, and just instantly get to work putting away her belongings and preparing herself to face whatever may be outside of her door.
All right.
I think at the first sign of recognizable danger, Maud is going to kind of instinctively look to Maeve for an order on what to do.
At this point, Maeve has gotten up from her seat, and she is... It's not telepathic, I'm not gonna say, but she's given a look to one of the other Candela people that's on board. He's an older gentleman. He doesn't have a right hand. It looks like it has been replaced with, like, a metal hand kind of thing. He has salt and pepper hair. He's wearing a nice suit. And they sort of just exchange a look. Like, oh, this is happening. All right. And he takes out a gun of his own, and he shoots one of the riders. Just straight up pops up, and that person falls dead.
Okay, I think Maud is gonna say, all right, Caldwin, nice chatting with you, but I think it's time to get back to work. She's gonna put her pin back in her hair, put everything back into place as quickly as possible, probably still too slow for Maeve's liking, and get some ribbon ready, and go towards the one person left in the passenger car. She's just moving forward to be ready when Maeve says jump, pretty much.
Okay. And then as that happens, Will, who's the soldier, he starts charging this person. But unfortunately, the rider pulls out his gun in retaliation, shoots Will. Will's down. Now let's turn back to Manny.
Quick question. Can you please remind me, GM, in what order the cars are connected to each other?
Okay. It's a dining, passenger, sleeper.
Manny's standing between the cars in that space with the dining car behind him, blue button up, gray slacks, and a shoe or a boot that's made for walking. Something that, you know, would be on someone who's used to traveling and going places and being on their feet for a while. Flicks up his collar and, you know, straightens his jacket, wobbles a little bit and says, hell are you doing here?
And the rider, you know, looks at you. Again, he raises a gun and he, you know, he says something about...
I grab it.
Oh, you grab it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, then I guess we're going to make a control.
Let's do this. You don't just pull up on Manny.
Let's go, Manny.
And I guess the rider will say something about, like, give me your money kind of stuff.
The rider woke up and chose violence, and Manny said, bet.
All right, I'm going to burn a drive because I got nothing in control. As I'm trying to grab a gun out of someone's hand. Mm-hmm. Okay, the fates are with me. That's a 6.
Let's go!
All right, you successfully grabbed the gun out of the rider's hand.
On one die. Let's go. First roll.
Let's go.
Yeah, I grab it and I toss it off the side.
Okay. Are you going to do anything to the guy?
I'm just going
to
smile at him.
Okay. And he's going to try to punch you.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess we'll have you take a move roll to try to get out of the way of his strike.
All right. I'm out of move. I don't have any move, so I'm going to roll a disadvantage. And I rolled 2 5s.
All right. Yeah, so he doesn't hit you, but you kind of stumble a little bit when that happens. Now we're going to head back to Arden.
So now aware that something is wrong, I'm going to ask GM. I assume Arden heard the gunshots going off in the passenger car.
Yeah, you probably heard those. And you also hear a guy coming down sort of the hallway, because, you know, the sleeper car has, like, you know, little quarters where there's bunk beds and things like that. So this guy's coming down the hallway. He's knocking on doors, going, open up, hand me your valuables.
How far away from my door does he seem? Am I able to tell at all?
Yeah, well, let's say a couple doors down. You're not entirely sure how many, but a few doors.
I'm going to put my hand on the doorknob and twist it so the door is ready to open. I'm going to wait for the rider to approach my door. And I'm going to attempt...
Okay.
To ambush him in one of those comedic, like, where you just fling the door open and flatten the other person against the wall kind of situations. Well, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit and wait.
Okay. Well, you do know these doors, they slide. They don't open, like, swinging.
Oh, crud. Okay.
I'm sorry if I didn't specify that.
Okay. Change in plans. That being the case, are there any windows on these doors at all? Or is it just solid?
It's, the windows are pretty, like, They're very blurred, you know, so you can't see inside. Privacy's sake, kind of, you know. Like a doctor's office, blurring.
Okay, then that being the case, I'm going to... If my door is locked, I'm going to unlock it. And if there's any room to the side of the door, I'm going to try to press myself as close against the wall as I can to the side.
Okay.
Hopefully just enough out of view so I can attempt to surprise this person.
Okay. All right. So the person, you know, knocks on the door, you know, bam, bam, bam. Open up. Give me all your valuables. And he'll, like, open the door and he'll peek in. What are you going to do?
I'm going to attempt to...
And he's got his gun out, by the way. He's, you know, he's brandishing it.
Oh, good. That does change things. Great. Love this for me.
I'll give you time to think about it. Let's turn to Maud.
All right. Maud is wanting to check on two things. First, are the non-Candela Obscura people in the passenger train, like, how panicked are they? Are they leaving, or are they kind of in the way right now?
They're stuck in their seats, because they're like, oh, you know, don't shoot me. I'm just, you know, here's my money. Like, they're just grabbing their valuables and trying, like, hand them over. Okay. But the person, the last, you know, rider who's in the car, he just shot down Will. And he has turned his gun to anyone else who's standing up. So I guess that would probably be you, Maud, unfortunately.
I think so. Yeah, she's pretty short, so I'm not sure if he would notice that she's actually standing up, but yes, she
okay.
is. And then the second thing she would want to check on before taking any actions is, how are the horses doing outside? Are they okay?
Yeah, the horses are okay. they're just chilling. They, you know, they got their riders to the train, and they're kind of standing, like, if you can sort of see it, but they're sort of in the front. Some are in front of the train, some are just to the side for, like, a quick getaway.
Maud being a horse girl is now a valid headcanon.
It's so real. She comes from such a rich family, I feel like it's kind of impossible to not make her a horse girl.
She's thinking about those horses. She's like, such a that's horse a nice girl. Pinto.
She plays polo on the weekends, like...
not that rich. Okay, I think she's gonna look for the heaviest thing around her, which is probably going to be her luggage case of, like, a different outfit for every day of this mission, I would imagine.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think she's gonna get ready to, like, charge the person and smack if it comes to it.
Okay. Yeah, let's do a strike roll.
Okay.
Because I assume with this guy's gun, you know, at you, you're going to grab the suitcase and just whack him.
Yeah.
That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah, just chuck it. I think I'm going to spend a drive on this.
Okay.
Okay, that's a 5.
Awesome. Yeah, you hit him, like, in the jaw. And he's, like, he stumbles a little bit. You know, you're not able to, like, unarm him. Like, he's still got his gun, but he's stumbling. And so with that, we're going to go back to Manny.
Having, you know, dodged out of the way a little bit, I'm gonna, like, push off the wall and just 1, 2, 3, jab, cross, hook.
All right. Yeah. Give me another strike roll, please.
I have points in strike, so let's see if they do me well.
Hell yeah.
Oh, ho. It had to come back at me. I got a 1 and a 2. I'm gonna take the 2.
Okay. All right. Oh. Yeah.
Oof, indeed.
You miss him, unfortunately. It's, you know, you're able to, like, sort of scrape his face, so, like, it's, he'll be bruised, but you don't hit him enough where he's not, like, you know, rattled. And he's going to come back, and he's going to hit you. You know what? I'll do a strike roll for him. He's got a 4, so he hits you, but he doesn't knock you out. All right, let's go back to Ardern.
So I'm trying to imagine, I am pressed up against the wall right next to the door. Is there, I don't know, how big is this room?
It's pretty small. It's a pretty small, you know, it has the seats that turn into, like, bunk beds. It's your, you know, just a sleeper car. There's not much room. There's some overhead for your luggage, but that's it.
And let's say that just to get a visual image of the surroundings. So if I were to enter the room, what would be on the right-hand side? What would be on the left-hand side?
Well, we'll start with, like, you know, in front of you is a window, and then to your left and right are both bench seats that then convert into beds. And there's, like, the loft area too for another bed.
Okay, so let's say that facing the window, I'm standing to the left-hand side of this room. Is there anything I would see within arm's reach that would be at my disposal?
Probably luggage. You know, I imagine you probably have a suitcase of some sort in there with you. And you know what? Just because I think it would be fun, a fire extinguisher.
I'm gonna grab the fire extinguisher.
Alright.
And I'm going to... Do I see his head at all, or is it mostly just, like, his arm with the gun?
Mostly just his arm with his gun. Like, he has opened the door, he's pointing it inside. He's, you know, he hasn't spot you quite yet, because it's not that bright, but you have a few seconds.
Okay, so I'm gonna grab the fire extinguisher, and I'm gonna attempt to bash it down on his hands.
Alright, give me a strike, please.
This might be a mistake, but I'm gonna save my drive for this roll.
Okay.
That would be a one.
Yeah, you miss, and he takes it out of your hands. He's able to, like, push it out of the way. As you come down upon him, he steps out of the way, kind of, like, just slaps your hands, and you drop it.
Oh, no!
And now we're going to turn to Mod.
Oh, God, I'm so worried. Do you want to start with the rider's reaction first?
Right. So you just in with some luggage with all your outfits. Mm-hmm. It didn't rattle him.
My 10 million shoes.
Your 10 million Millions. Shoes, which are so heavy.
They're so heavy.
he's kind of reeling from a little bit of that strike. I'll give you that because, like, you got a 5 on that, right?
Yeah, it was just a 5.
I'll give you, so yeah, he's reeling. He hasn't dropped his gun, but he's just kind of stumbling back at this point.
Okay. Am I closer to him than Maeve and the other Obscura members are?
Yeah. And I'll say, like, behind you is the other members and Maeve. Maeve is, like, she was closer to the front. He kind of came towards the back. So
gotcha.
Turned and faced them.
Okay.
So, yeah, they're kind of all behind you. Caldwin is scared, unfortunately. They're kind of just chilling in their seats right now, not sure what to do.
Yeah, I don't blame them.
Real quick, the door to the passenger car that is behind my current guy that I'm fighting, is it opened or closed?
It's closed.
Okay. Continue.
Yeah, no worries.
I think Maeve, seeing that she has an attack of opportunity here, is going to rush forward with the sturdiest and longest piece of ribbon that she has in her hair and try to strangle or in any way, like hold down this person so that Maeve can get to them and disarm them or whatever she needs to do.
Okay, so we're gonna... I know you meant Mod there. we're gonna do a...
Oh, yes.
I kind of want to do a control roll for this one. That feels like you're trying to control the situation. Does that feel right to you?
That works for me. And then I'm not gonna spend a drive. That's a 6, meow.
All right, yeah. So you took the ribbon, you wrapped it around his neck. He's like, and you got behind him. And so actually, one of the other Candela people brings out a gun and shoots him, and he's down. He's fucking down. All right, back to Manny. Good job, Maud.
I love that. Thank you.
we're gonna keep this brawl going. I was going to push him through the door into the other guy, but since the door's closed, I'm just going to push him into the door and just start throwing elbows.
Okay, yeah. More strikes.
Let's do this. I'm feeling good. This is the send train. I heard Maud in the back of my head choke a dude out. I'm ready. 3.
Okay. Ooh. Yeah, you missed some strikes. I'll give you this. You hit him, but he's able to turn around, so now your back is to the door. He's got you cornered now. Is there anything you want to do?
So I'm back to the door now. There's a couple gaps that would go off of the train to the side. I'm going to try and push him off of me, and then Sparta kick him off the side of the train.
Let's go, Manny. Let's
All right,
go.
Let's make that a control roll. Again, you're trying to control the situation.
Yep. I'm okay with this. I'm gonna burn another drive out of this because I don't have anything in control. And we got a 4.
All right. Yeah, you're able to push him off of you. You're no longer cornered. You're on this small, like, little platform because on sides of you is, like, open. And he's starting to fall back. He hasn't completely fallen back yet, but he lost his balance. And that, we're going to turn to Arden.
How's it looking for me, GM?
Let's see. So you hit him with a fire extinguisher. He slapped it out of your hands. You missed completely. And he's got the gun back in your face. He's asking for the valuables. He's kind of pissed off.
We are facing each other.
Yeah, yeah. You can smell his bad breath through his handkerchief. He's a Scarlet Runner. He doesn't have hygiene.
The scurvy.
Whereabouts did the fire extinguisher fall when I dropped it?
It fell out of your hands and it rolled underneath one of the bench.
Of course it did.
You rolled a one. I mean, bad things happened.
Okay. I'm going to attempt to just... No, give me a second. Give me a second.
Yeah, yeah. We can go back to Maud. Maud, what are you doing?
Has the life left this man's eyes yet?
Oh my God. The killer. Yeah, he's... It's not quite there. You have him choked. He just got shot a couple times. Now that the Candela people, you know, you got control on this guy. Yeah, he's got shot. He's gurgling on the blood and stuff. He's pretty much dead. He's not a threat.
Okay. And then I think, like, as she's tightening it more and more around him to finish the job, she, like, leans down to whisper on his, like, in his ear on his right side. This is what happens when you mistreat your horse. And she's gonna end him.
Oh,
shit. She said, I ain't afraid of no corpses.
All right.
And I ain't afraid of making them either.
I mean, literally. I'm not afraid of making him. I'm not afraid of working with him.
Yeah, he'll, you know, he hears that. He kind of, like, gives you a confused look as he's... And then he just slumps to the ground. His last thoughts are just confused.
All right, that's my turn.
All right, we'll go back to Manny.
How do I compete
with that? You hear a weird gurgling, thumping noise.
How do I compete with that?
I mean, now I feel like we've got to incorporate ADR into this show. Like, we gotta...
yeah, I'm gonna continue to try to knock this dude off the train. And if I am successful, I'm going to then jump off the train and continue to beat him on the ground. We're gonna try to make that happen. Okay. I've had a few too many, and now I'm upset because I'm getting hurt. Strike?
Right. Give me more strikes. Yeah.
All right. I got another 4. It's gonna hurt, but...
All right, yeah. You're able to throw him to the ground. He loses his balance. He falls off the little platform. And you're coming down. You're, you know, going down, about to do, like, a piler on his face. But he's able to roll away before you do that. You're not hurt, but you don't get him that full attack. Back to Arden.
I am now ready to make my move. So he's demanding valuables from me. I'm going to... I assume I'm kind of somewhat bent over since I just got whacked and dropped a heavy fire extinguisher. I'm going to slowly straighten myself up. I'm going to say, okay, calm down. Calm down. All right, just give me a second here. I'm going to have both my hands up to indicate that I am not armed. I'm going to slowly turn my back and start...
And his eyes are on you. They are trained on you while you do this.
I'm going to move over to where my luggage, my suitcase is. And I'm going to...
And as you do that, he says, slow, little lady, slow.
I beat his ass. No, I'm kidding.
Show you, little lady.
Say it again. I kind of just glare at him, look back at my suitcase, slowly unclasp the lock. This is going to be messy, but I'm going to take my now open suitcase and kind of just grab the handle with one arm and kind of fling it so all the clothes go flying and kind of try to create a bit of a chaotic situation, a bit of a mask here.
All right, yeah. I'll give that one a control roll. Yeah, let's roll control.
At this point, would you consider this a high stakes roll?
Yeah, you know, he's right here. He's got a gun to your face. This is, yeah.
Okay, in that case, I'm going to use my cool under pressure, which allows me to spend a cunning drive to make this roll so I can get the extra assistance.
Okay.
I rolled a 2 and a 4. I'm gonna take the 4.
All right. Yeah, your stuff just goes everywhere. He is, like, confused. He still has his gun, but he's, like, moved it out of the way, so it's not right in your face. He's just like, whoa, what's going on? And, like, he actually shoots the gun. Not at you. Luckily, it doesn't hit you. But he's just, you know, he's going kind of just pew, pew, pew.
Amidst the chaos, I'm going to, just purely running on adrenaline now, I'm going to attempt to charge through the fallen clothes and just full body tackle this guy down.
All right, yeah, give me a move.
That's another 4.
All right, yeah, you're able to grab him around the waist. He is confused. He's not quite down yet, but you got him. We're gonna move back to Maud. Whoa, now that this individual's dead in front of you, what are you gonna do?
Now that she's murdered a horse abuser.
I mean, what else are you supposed to do when you have all this power?
No, fair.
I'm supposed to, what, have a job like a normal person? Please. Okay, can I see through the sliding door Manny's brawl, or am I in the wrong location for that? Is that something that I can perceive from where I'm at in the train car right now?
Yeah, if you were, you could probably see that, because you turned around the guy, he was closer to the back of the car, and Manny is on the back of the car that's in front of the car you're in, if that makes sense. So when you turned around to choke that guy out, you can see over his shoulder, or at least you did, you could see Manny just pummeling someone through the glass that is like, yeah, and you see Manny just going overboard, So,
I'm imagining him, like, totally beating the crap out of this guy, but the sound effects are, like, those, like, inflatable squeaky hammers.
I feel like Manny was, like, thinking about, like, taking and, like, beating this guy with, like, one of the, like, dining table chairs, but all of the chairs are, like, welded to the floor in a train because it's moving, and he's just, like, trying to, like, use it as a weapon, but it's, like, sealed to the floor. I think Maud is gonna look at Maeve and say, "We gotta go. There's more trouble in the back."
Okay, and Maeve is gonna nod at you, and she's gonna turn, and she'll grab her cane and follow you.
Yeah. And then we're moving towards Manny and making sure that he's, if he's all good, I'm, like, more than happy to let him beat the shit out of this guy. But if he needs backup, then at least we'll be there on the other side of the door.
Okay, so you move towards Manny. Manny, you're now on the ground. Like, you, as you're moving towards him, Maud, you saw him, whoop, jump out of the side of the train. So, Manny, what are you doing?
If we're both on the ground, I'm gonna, because I'm a dirty fighter, we're gonna grab a rock off the ground and just, I'm just gonna roll over and smash him as hard as I can with it.
You're gonna smash his head with the rock. Yeah, let's do another, I guess that'd be another strike.
All right. Let's see. Double sixes, critical.
Oh, let's go!
Critical success.
Let's go!
All right. Oh. Yeah, so you take that rock and you just smash it against his skull and you feel his skull cave in as you do it, and you just go again and again and again until this man is not moving. There's blood. His face is smashed.
She said, pop, pop, and Maud, I do it again.
Maud and Maeve, like, go through the door. They see you on the side. You're covered in blood, and you're just smashing this guy's face in.
Good. I'm just gonna get up.
If you need a wet wipe later, you know where to find me. And we're gonna keep moving towards the back.
All right. So then we'll go back to Arden How are you doing, Arden?
I have no thoughts in my head. Mm-hmm. Quite literally, head empty, no thoughts. and I'm just on survival mode right now. Mm-hmm. I've just tackled this guy, so I'm going to assume I'm kind of... I'm in a more advantageous position than he is, I'm assuming.
Yeah, yeah, you got him around the waist. Like, you went down and just grabbed him and pushed him. So now you're kind of out of the room itself. You're in the hallway. He still has his gun, though, but he is, you know, he just got tackled. He's not doing anything right at this moment.
The clothes kind of went flying everywhere, so I'm going to grab whatever the nearest article of clothing is. No care in the world for what it is, but I'm just going to kind of reach for it, kind of like just crumple it in my hands and attempt to like smack it onto his face just to disorient him. And so I am going to release him to do this, but I'm going to release him and quickly kind of just pow, and then with my other hand attempt to...
It's a dirty pair of pants.
I'm going to attempt to take the gun from him with my other hand.
All right, we'll do a control roll. See if you can wrestle it out of his hand.
Do I spend a drive on this?
Do I?
That's a 5.
Yeah, yeah. So you do get the gun out of his hand. You rip it from his hand. And as, you know, you hold it aloft, he kind of, like, slaps you a little bit so you fall. But you have the gun.
Was it a hard slap? Like, did it rock my world or am I still in the moment enough?
You're still in the moment. You just got, like, pushed a little bit. You're just like...
I'm gonna jump back and, like, whack him with the butt of the gun.
All right, yeah, let's do some striking rolls. Or just one strike roll.
Whip it. Whip him good.
That's a 4.
All right, yeah, you hit him. He's not quite out yet, but he's, you know, he's bruised.
Knocking him in the head till he's out. I'm not going
all right, yeah.
Any fatal blows here, but I want the lights out.
Okay, yeah, and we'll say with that 4, it takes a while. It takes more than you think.
He's got a pair of pants on his head.
He's confused.
Why is this somehow more cruel than what we were doing?
He's not suffocating. I'm not like holding it onto his face or anything, but
yeah, you knock him out. So with all the riders out now and other Candela peeps have, you know, dispersed just to check the cars. One of the other people came in, Candela people came to you, Arden. Sarah, you met her briefly. She's a detective. She has dark skin, her hair is tied up in a tight bun above her head, and she wears a long trench coat. She comes in, she has her gun out. She's looking, and she sees you whacking this guy. He's out. She's like, you good?
I'm gonna kind of, very lacking in grace, gonna kind of stumble back off this guy and like kind of scatter more clothes out of my way as I stand up, and he's out, but I'm still gonna keep the gun pointed at him when I stand. I'm gonna see. Yeah, I'm good. I'm gonna have a lot to clean up after this.
Okay, yeah. And she'll nod at you and she'll point her gun at this guy just in case he gets up again. Maud, Manny, what are you guys doing?
Now that I'm good, I'm gonna jump up and be like, are you okay?
Oh yeah. Yeah, we're good. I'm actually feeling great.
Where's Arden?
I don't know. We were gonna go check on her after making sure you were all good. I think she's still in the back somewhere.
Let's go. And I'm going to climb up and stumble my way up onto it because I'm 4 deep and half a sandwich in. Sort of leaning on Maud a little as we walk our way back.
And as you're walking your way back, the fifth Candela person, Griffin, he's a doctor. Older gentleman, hair graying. He comes up and he tries to check you out, Manny. He's like, you good? Do you need anything? Like, you need some stitches?
Oh yeah, no, this isn't mine. I'm gonna need a new shirt, though.
And he just kind of, like, he nods and he'll let you go. And he continues to check other people who might be frightened.
Moving quickly to go figure out where Arden is, because I obviously am worried about her.
Alright, so you guys make it to the sleeper car, and you see Arden standing over with Sarah, guns out on one of the riders.
You okay?
Yeah. No, I'm good. This, this guy kind of just... And I'm gonna compose myself, and put on kind of, like, this false confidence. And, yeah, he... I you know, I got it under control. He tried to sneak up on me, but it's good, it's good. And as I'm speaking, I'm definitely still shaking from the intensity of the moment.
I'm gonna slowly reach out and take the gun from her. Good, I'm glad you're okay.
I'm going to... kind of still in the headspace of having just fought this guy. My guard is not fully down yet, so I have now kind of put on my investigative cap, and I want to know who this guy is. So I'm going to brush aside any loose pieces of clothing from my suitcase that may be around us or on this guy, and I'm going to search his pockets.
Okay. Yeah, let's get a survey roll.
Sweet.
I'm going to move while they're searching the body. I'm going to start moving to some of the other passenger cars and kind of check on other people to make sure they're okay, asking, you know, if they're all right and stuff like that.
And as you do that, Griffin, the doctor, you see him, he's moving around. They found, like, a sheet somewhere and has put it over Will, who unfortunately died from his wounds. And on the other rider in the passenger car, they found a sheet and just kind of put it over his face. It wasn't as nice.
I rolled a 4 on the gilded.
Okay. Yeah, you don't really find too much on this guy. Like, you find his holster... You find, you know, obviously you have his gun. You just kind of notice that, you know, he just kind of looks like a cowboy that has been, you know, in the terrain for a while. He's dirty. He's gross. You find a little packet of spice, a scarlet spice on his person. Clearly, you know, he deals it and maybe he's even taken it. You're not entirely sure.
I am going to take the scarlet spice and I'm also going to take his holster.
Okay.
Arden, are these tweed pants over this man's face?
Can we, okay, listen, I don't think now's the appropriate time to be judging my fashion sense, or the lack thereof. Don't speak. I know that look. Just let it be. And I'm gonna get to work, starting to very quickly, especially with Maud standing there judging me. I'm gonna quickly start gathering my clothes and stuffing them, going back into the room to stuff them back into the suitcase. Just not even bothering to fold them, just trying to get them all in, because I can't be bothered right now.
I think Maud, not realizing that Arden was, like, calling her a little bit shallow for making fun of her fashion sense, turns to Maeve, and says, "Right, geez, all I was saying was that if you're gonna strangle someone, you might as well make it a non-breathable material. That's all."
Maeve is just gonna, you know, look at you, and, you know, she'll just nod. And she'll continue just kind of perusing through the cart, trying to see if there's anything, like, any other dangers, but it seems the dangers has passed. And at that, you know, we're going to move time. We're going to move to when the train has actually arrived to Cascadia. Because after that, all the people that were a problem were dealt with. Things got cleaned up. Hopefully, Arden, you got all your stuff. Maybe you lost a sock or two. It happens. And, yeah, you guys arrive in Cascadia. Pretty safe and sound. What are you gonna do? And we'll start with Arden and Maud, because Manny, we're gonna do something.
Are the horses okay? Did they get repossessed?
The horses got repossessed. It was weird. Like, they grabbed the horses and brought them on board. I'm not entirely sure what was going on with that, but yeah, the horses are nice and safe.
Okay, good to know. Arden, if you want to go first.
I'm sorry, say again, we have now, like, just arrived at the station, or this is a little after, and we're...
This is, like, we just arrived at the station, Maeve has basically, she has taken off with Manny, and, you know, basically has told you guys, we're going to go to the chapter house.
Yeah, so I'm going to finish up cleaning all belongings, shoving them back into my suitcase... doing a thorough inspection of the room to ensure that I haven't left anything behind, making sure I've still got my journal and my writing materials and any other valuables. Took a little bit of time to fix my hair and make myself appear a little less disheveled and less like I just stepped out of combat. I'm going to exit my room and walk out the train car, being sure to thank Sarah for her assistance as I head out.
And you, by the way, you have an address for an apartment Candela has gotten for you in Cascadia.
Perfect.
You all have apartments in the West River District.
So I'm going to exit the train car and stand on the platform outside, and I'm gonna wait for Maud before splitting.
Okay.
Once Maud knows that the horses are okay and have new homes where their teeth are gonna be brushed and they can eat carrots all day, she's gonna go check in on Caldwin, who looked pretty frightened the last time she saw them on the train.
Caldwin has, since the experience, because it's been a few hours since the incident, Caldwin has, you know, brought themselves, you know, back together, mostly. They're still a little shaken. You can tell, like, their hands still tremors, but they're back to put together. And they assure you they'll be fine. They're going with Charles, who is their lightkeeper. He is the older gentleman with the right hand missing, and they're going to go to their chapter house.
All right, Caldwin. It was nice talking to you before we almost died on that train. Hopefully, I'll see you one more time before we both have to move back home. And she's going to give them a pink carnation.
Aw. Caldwin will take it and, you know, say, you know, it was very nice meeting you as well. They hope that, you know, this assignment to Cascadia doesn't take too long.
All right. And then with that, Maud will go ahead and meet Arden outside.
So that was quite the train ride. I didn't take a moment to check in with you. Are you okay?
Oh, I'm great. Yeah. Never been better.
Good. Great. Okay. Yeah. That's awesome. You've got your address, right? You know where you're going?
She's gonna flip through her notebook of just, and Arden can look over her shoulder if she chooses to, and she'll see a bunch of like flowers and like skulls and like crossbones kind of scribbled all over the side with kind of illegible cursive. Yeah, I've got it here, I think. Yeah. Are we living in the same apartment?
GM?
I wouldn't say it's like the same apartment building. Candela got their, you know, these apartments as kind of wherever they could in such short notice, so they're going to be all around the West River District, and you can decide where exactly it's going to be, but you won't be like right next to each other.
Does it seem that our two apartments would be within walking distance of each other?
Yeah, you guys could walk to each other's places.
Okay, that being the case, I'm going to quickly read Maud's address and flip open my journal to the page that has my address written down on it. And I'm going to say, hey, let's grab a ride, we can head down together.
Yeah, that sounds great. I was so hoping that we would be neighbors, but hopefully at least one of ours will have a pool so that we can do like a summer pool party if it takes that long, but I won't be too picky.
Hey, summer pool party sounds fun. Definitely we'll figure out a way to make that work. Man, I love Maud. Yeah, I'm gonna take a moment and kind of laugh. It's a good, she's a breath of fresh air after the intensity of the previous hour, however long ago it was that this happened. And what seems to be the vehicular mode of transportation in this part?
Yeah, there's carriages. There is a, like, I almost want to say it's not a subway, but there is sort of a,
like a monorail? Like a monorail streetcar? Like the Bay Area?
Yeah, like a streetcar that, yeah, like the Bay Area, where you could hop on and hop off. And it goes around the city in like a big circle.
So, knowing Maud's affinity for animals, and specifically her love for horses, I'm going to suggest, I don't know about you, I think I've had enough of being in a car for a day. What do you say we get a carriage?
That sounds lovely.
And we're going to try to hail a carriage.
Alright. I'll let you guys do that, and then we'll turn to Manny and Maeve. Maeve's going to turn to you, Manny, and says, Let's check out the chapter house first, before you get to your apartment. I want to make sure everything is good there.
Yeah, let's do it. Do you know how secure it is? How fortified? Is it safe?
Not sure yet. I would assume that because Candela picked it, it should be pretty safe. The city has a history of speakeasies that were able to survive Prohibition. And from what I know, this tavern has a secret location for us to meet.
I know I'm not feeling too confident in their safety standards at the moment, given everything that went down on the way out. So I just want to make sure the girls are safe.
And she'll give you sort of a knowing look like, yeah, the train ride was pretty dangerous, wasn't it? And then you two will take a carriage to the tavern. And the tavern is called Portland Speakeasy, as it's in the Portland District. It's a popular tavern in the West River District. It's like on the border between West River and Portland. It used to be a speakeasy when the company owned Cascadia before it was incorporated into Hale, and prohibition was the law at the time. However, you know, the tavern is still around and there's no prohibition anymore, so there's not really a need for the secret location. And as you enter into the tavern itself, you know, you see the setup, a bar, chairs, tables for people just to sit and drink. And in the back, you see sort of a bookcase just against one of the walls. There's a couple bookcases, but this one stands out to you. And at the bar itself is Duncan. He is the owner, the Portland speakeasy. He's a walrus mustached man who's just cleaned the bar. Big mustache.
Entrances, exits, bookshelf. What am I seeing in regards to like back rooms? I assume windows and stuff for people to see in. Just give me a quick layout of the... This is what Manny's thinking about as soon as he walks in. He does a scan of the whole place, and he's trying to see points of entry, points of egress, just getting to the out-of-place bookshelf in a speakeasy.
Yeah, so you have the doors to the entrance of it. You have the bar, and you can kind of spy behind the bar. There's another door to, like, the kitchen area. And there's probably an exit back there, you can assume, most likely. And that's kind of the two exits you can see right now. There are stairs to upstairs as well.
Is there anybody besides Duncan that stands out as suspicious in the bar?
Nope. There's just, you know, a couple people drinking. Just, you know, sipping on something.
I scratch my head. I flick my collar and my jacket again. In a nice cleaner shirt and... continue following Maeve's lead.
Maeve's going to introduce herself to Duncan. She was given a dossier about him, so she knows he is the owner, and this has been deemed as a secure location for Candela. And, you know, she's going to introduce herself, and she'll introduce you. Is there anything you'd like to say?
I'm quiet, and I nod. I'm just watching.
All right. And Duncan is going to... He'll introduce himself, and he'll say, "Hi. I'm Duncan. I'm the owner of the tavern. Pleased to have you guys here. Wish you guys could have been here at a better time. Some of my workers have been go missing in the tunnels under the city. I've lost two this month, and I really hope you guys can help me find them, because if I keep losing workers, we're going to shut this place down."
In the tunnels? I thought...
Yeah. Yeah, there's tunnels. They go from the docks to all the taverns around here. It just helps keep the shipments a little bit more secure when you know, if you're walking around with a cart on the streets with a bunch of liquor, you might get robbed.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. Maeve, we gonna look into this?
She'll look at you and she'll nod, and then Duncan will move around the bar and he'll point to the bookshelf. He says, "This is where you guys can meet." And he'll go up to bookshelf. He'll pull a book, you know, pull it back, and the shelf moves out of the way on its own to reveal a nice, warmly lit interior. There's velvet couches. It's very Victorian-esque. There's more books. There's a little bit of, like, weird stuff in it already. It seems like Candela has made this already a spot that they have used before. So it's a little dusty, but... Maeve seems happy, from what you can tell.
For clarity's sake, the bookshelf's, like, in the proper part of the tavern. Like, it's just there. And this entrance is, like, in the main part of the tavern?
Yeah, it's, like, in the main part of the tavern. Probably won't be careful if you're going to enter into it. But this tavern doesn't seem, like, terribly busy right now.
Okay. I'm gonna just make a mental note of that. And then ask Maeve a few questions later on.
Okay. And then I guess we'll go back to Arden and Maud.
Yeah, so we hail the carriage to get to our apartments. I'll say that I ask the driver to drop us off at whatever would be the intersecting corner between our two apartments. I will pay the driver their fare and also throw in a little bit of a tip. And as they drive off, I'm going to turn to Maud. You got everything?
Except for petting the horses while they were working, yes, I have everything ready to go.
Maybe next time. You know where you're going from here?
I think so. I guess I'll see you at the next time we're meeting up together, the new place?
Yeah, sounds good. I think, I might be bullshitting here, GM. Would it be okay for me to say that there are plans to, for all of us to meet up together as a circle later that evening?
Yeah, yeah, that could totally be a plan that was made.
Then I'm definitely gonna say that with full confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've still gotta meet up with Manny tonight, so I guess I'll see you there. And if you need anything, you know where to find me.
Same to you. Let me know if there's a pool or not, and then we can go from there.
And I start heading off to my apartment.
If there's nothing else anyone has to do, we can move on to that evening. I guess I've met.
First thing I'm gonna do is check if there is a pool.
I need to know if there's a pool.
There's not. Unfortunately, I'm so sorry. Cascadia is in sort of a colder climate than New Fair, even. Like, New Fair is a cold climate. Cascadia is a little bit colder, and it got hit with a shiver a little bit worse than other parts of the hail. So people don't really have pools, unfortunately.
Maud is destroyed. She's so upset. My party plans.
But it's okay, Maud, because your apartment has a really nice kitchen. I'll give you that. You have a nice kitchen. It's kind of bare bones elsewhere, but, like, for some reason, it's just a nice kitchen.
It's because Maeve knew I would complain if I didn't have at least something.
Yeah, she wanted to take care of. She wanted to make sure you were well taken care of.
Then I'm gonna organize all of the stuff in my closet first, unpack.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Arden's gonna do the same. She's going to enter her apartment, kind of take in her new surroundings, and set to work unpacking her belongings, getting everything organized, taking extra care to make sure that she's got somewhere in the apartment to sit down and write and focus and get work done, whether that's journaling or otherwise.
Mm-hmm. And let's say your apartment has a nice desk. I would assume Maeve would want to make sure you're well taken care of as well. And she requested a desk for you to write at. Manny, is there anything you would like to do between checking out the tavern and that evening?
I'm going to ask Maeve. Well, I'm going to mention to Maeve, I'm a huge fan of bars. Been working in them for as long as I can remember at this point, but that entrance to this space is a little conspicuous. I value Candela a lot, but my priority is keeping all of us safe, and we need to do a little something about the entrance, make it a VIP area, throw a curtain up, something, just to. Like, what if we come into the middle of the night and the bar is popping and, we just push a bookcase aside and there's somebody not so nice watching us go inside. I feel a little out of place to me. I just want to make sure, our bases are covered. Otherwise, the space is great. Looks like they used to brew stuff down here, so I might be able to put my skills to work a little bit and make us a little custom brew down here. Yeah, I don't know. How do you feel about that?
Maeve will, turn to you. I agree. The bookshelf was just too conspicuous, as you said. I'll talk to the owner and see if we can get an entrance through the basement or something. That might be better.
It's good to know that it's there, though. I would just love to have at least one more point of entry or exit. But yeah, otherwise, I dig it. It's nice. I'm gonna take a walk.
Okay.
And Manny will exit the bar and kind of just walk the neighborhood and kind of get an idea of the Portland neighborhood a little bit and the other bars, the other restaurants and businesses in the area along the Portside area.
Yeah, and like the Portside area, so there are docks for a bunch of boats to come to drop off goods. Basically, the boats come in from the ocean and they'll travel down the river and get to the heart of Cascadia that way to deliver goods. Around the tavern is actually Manny's apartment. It's not too far from the tavern, so pretty close. So if he wants to, work at the tavern, he can. There's restaurants. There's more, living areas. West River is pretty, in between. There's not a lot of, wealthy people, but they're also not, people who are really, on the cusp of super poverty. You'll find some homeless people here and there, but not too bad. So, yeah, you can get a lay of the land that way.
Awesome. Notes taken.
All right.
For the meeting, Manny will find just a bench or something in a park near the water and just sit there and watch people and boats and water until the sun gets low enough and it comes time for us to meet as a circle.
And as you're sitting there, you see a couple boats come by. You see, it looks almost like a Navy vessel. Kind of just, like, dock for a little bit and leave. You just see a bunch of boats. And I guess we'll move forward to that evening if you guys want to meet at the tavern.
I'll be there first. Off and on conversations with Duncan. And I'll just be sipping on a... What would Manny be drinking at this point? At this point, he'd be sipping on a brandy. Slow, sifting it, and just nursing it, taking his time with it.
Yeah, and Duncan will be telling you about sort of the business. He's, of course, been told by Candela, you're going to work here if you want. And Maeve has gone off. You're not entirely sure where she's gone, but she's not around. But he did get to talk to her about that entrance, and he's going to see if he can find something in, like, the back room or downstairs in the basement where they keep all their storage, like a little entryway to the secret location.
Yeah, it's my first time on this side of town. I've been here, well, it's been a while. It's been some years. I grew up in this area, actually. But yeah, never been to the Portland side of town. Always over on West River or on the north side. So this is different. It's nice. But yeah, if you need a hand here, once we figure out what's going on, I'd be more than happy to give you a hand around here on the bar.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I can definitely use some good workers around here. There hasn't been much people around since the Great War. A lot left to fight in the war. Not too many came back.
That's kind of the story everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah. And plus, people don't like the cold, apparently. It's too cold for them here.
It's one of the reasons why I left, amongst other things, obviously. You got any playing cards?
And he'll pull out a deck of cards. And he's like, want to play?
I just want to fidget a little bit. And Manny just starts deftly shuffling them, one-handed cuts, rolling cards around his fingers, kind of messing around, but like doing like really interesting hand motions, creating designs in the cards, opening up, splaying them out, cutting the deck into four pieces, rolling them back, shuffling them, cutting it in one hand, rolling the cards just in interesting ways, and just kind of sips his drink with his other hand. No, I'm good. I'm just going to goof off a little bit.
Okay.
And as he waits for the other two to show up.
Is there... this might be a bit of a stupid question. Is there a clock in my apartment? Or did I possibly bring one? I don't. Is there a way for me to tell what time it is?
Yeah, I'll say you have a clock that you brought with you. You need time for your job as a journalist, or at least, when you were a journalist in New Fair. So, you definitely have some sort of analog clock. You probably even wear a watch, I would assume.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to say since she got everything settled in her apartment, Arden has been seated at her desk and just continued journaling what she was writing when she was in the train car. But also, of course, adding on a recollection of the chaos that ensued during that trip. And she's going to be in the midst of making a sketch of Maud petting one of the horses, and glance down at her watch and realize what time it is, and just under her breath, oh shit, she's gonna take a sip of the coffee that she had sitting on her desk, her go-to work refreshment. And
let's say you found some old beans in your kitchen.
Yeah, it's real bad. Bad coffee, yeah. But it's coffee nonetheless, and it's gonna get her through the night. So she rushes to the door, grabs her coat, grabs her red scarf, and wraps it on. Cracks the door open a bit, feels the chill of the night, says, oh, absolutely not. Goes and grabs some extra layers, grabs her hat, and then heads out and makes her way over to the tavern. And I'll say that she gets to the tavern, and she enters to see Manny. shuffling the cards, and she's going to say, "Oh, hey, that's a new one. I haven't seen that trick. When'd you pick that up?"
Have I not shown you this? I figured all the time we spent together at the bar talking, you would have seen this one by now. And I keep doing it. This trick, Manny cuts the cards in a way. He picks them up half and half, so they're kind of like in a triangle. And then he lets it go, and they kind of waterfall together into a nice sideways deck again. Because, yeah, I picked this up after she left. You remember? Told you about that? Yeah. This was one of the things I picked up doing around that period of time. So, yeah, you know, I've got some tricks up my sleeve.
Arden takes that last sentence as a bit of the catalyst to which to kind of push some of Manny's buttons. She knows that he takes a lot of pride in his skill sets and the tricks that he's able to do and being personable. And she tries to take this moment to kind of add some levity to the situation and just, "Hey, but Kay, I mean, that's impressive, but can you guess my card?"
"Yeah, sure. Let's do it." So, Manny folds the cards out and like splays them out and says, "Go ahead, take a card."
And I'm going to grab a card from just slightly off center.
"Go ahead and look at it. Don't show it to me." Manny will like make a show of looking away. You know, looking around, waiting for you. "You got it? You got it?"
"Yeah, I got it."
And he'll cut the deck into half and he'll start like slowly dropping cards. "Go ahead and put it anywhere."
I stick the card back in.
He claps it together, pulls it around. He starts shuffling it, flipping cards in his hand, you know, just doing a lot of the same things you saw him doing a moment ago, and then stops and he goes, "All right, so I didn't get to see your card, but," and he smacks the deck and snaps, "and is this your card?" And it's going to be a two of diamonds.
Arden's going to kind of push her cap further back on her head and lean over the table to inspect the card a little closer. No, I had the Queen of Hearts. She's going to let that sit for a second and wait expectantly.
"Oh, that's right. Awesome." And he reaches into his pocket, all the cards in his other hand, and he's, "So this is your card." And he pulls out the Queen of Hearts out of his pocket.
"Yep, you got it. You always do. Well, one of these days, I don't know how, I don't know when, one of these days I'm gonna stump you." And she knows it's a total lie, but she enjoys messing with him anyhow.
"Come on, sit down. Where's Flower at?"
"I don't know. She should be here any second."
Maud enters the room with a grocery bag of carrots in hand, and strolls up to the bar, just missing the end of that card trick. "Evening, everybody."
Arden's gonna take note of the bag of carrots and kind of jokingly, "Those for us?"
"Oh, yeah, totally." You see her have like a very guilty side eye, feeling a little bit bad that she's thinking of horses instead of her circle mates once again.
"All right, come on, take a seat."
She goes ahead and sits down.
I call Duncan over and get everybody something to drink, whether of the alcohol or non-alcoholic variety. And we kind of get together and we start talking and sharing things about our apartments, and I inform them of the entrance to the chapter house and where we'll be working.
And at this point, Maeve will come in. She's, you know, using her cane, stepping not too slow, but yeah, she seems a little sore. And she sits down next to you guys and asks for a whiskey on the rocks.
Maud extends a carrot that's like half whittled down by her teeth, that she's been dipping into her seltzer, at Maeve.
Maeve will kind of side-eyed it. "Thank you. No, thank you. I'll be fine."
Maud takes the hint and keeps munching.
And then at this point, Maeve turns to you guys. "So, I spent the rest of the afternoon talking to other taverns around here. They've all had the same issue as Duncan. Workers have been going missing. Now, we want to get on Duncan's good side, so we should probably figure out what's going on. But this doesn't have to be immediate if you guys need to take care of some stuff first."
Hold on. You said people are missing? How many people are we talking about? How long has this been going on?
Duncan, from behind the counter, he's, you know, wiping down the counter. He's cleaned some, you know, glasses. He turns to you guys. "Yeah, it's been a couple of months now. A couple of taverns around here keep losing losing people. I've lost two this month. One just this morning. He was delivering some shipment from the docks in the tunnels, and he never came out.
So then, these tunnels are used pretty frequently, it sounds like.
Yeah, there's tunnels connecting all the taverns around from the docks to their storerooms. Just makes it a little bit easier to move things around. It rains a lot here, so the new shipment also doesn't get wet.
The tunnels, did you say?
Yeah. They're used, you know, every evening, every morning.
Doesn't seem like there'd be too much opportunity for people to go missing down there if there are a lot of people going in and out throughout the day. What are the names of the two people that have gone missing from here?
The one missing this morning, his name's Godric. He worked here for 5 years or so. Really good employee. Our guy. I think his name was Charlie. He hadn't been here for long. It was the first day. Honestly, it was pretty sad.
And you said these tunnels are typically used for carrying shipments that have come in from the docks. Would there be any other reason that people would be using these tunnels that you can think of?
Back in the day, these tunnels were used for, getting liquor to the taverns, too. It was, you know, for prohibition, but prohibition's over, so there's really no use for that anymore. But besides that, no, these are just shipment tunnels.
What's happened? Are people losing product, or is it just people missing?
Just people. The product is left behind.
So they're not even making it to the docks for the pickup?
Well, some won't make it. Some will pick it up, but they'll be lost along the way. It's pretty random.
And then the product's just in the tunnel?
Yeah.
Sitting, waiting?
Yeah. We've sent a couple police officers down there, but they find nothing. But they get lost, too. They don't know the tunnels like we do.
Do you got a map of the tunnels? At least the routes that your guys take?
Yeah, he'll give you a map. He'll be like, this is for our newbies. But, yeah. So if you guys are going to be investigating this, he'll need it.
Man, he just observes the tunnel routes. Can you do me a favor and kind of just make a note on mine where your shipments were left or lost?
Yeah, he'll make a note. I don't know where our guy got lost this morning. No one has wanted to go down the tunnels. He's like the 10th one. So, no one wants to go back down there. I can't hire anyone.
Manny will kind of glance at everybody. Well, maybe we should look into this.
Definitely. Duncan, when did you say the peak hours for your shipments were? Or does it vary by your schedule?
It sort of varies by the schedule. And granted, this is for several taverns, too. The tunnels branch out to other taverns around here. So, you know, the shipments come mostly at night, sometimes in the morning, but it just depends on which one. If I'm getting vegetables, I get it in the morning.
Have all the disappearances also been happening at a certain time of day?
No, nothing that we can pick out from. It's very random.
I'm very sorry about that.
Yeah, I miss him. He was a good worker. And Charlie, too. It was first day.
Rip Charlie. No one else is saying it.
This poor man. F in the chat.
Horses get more respect than Charlie.
Honestly. Okay, and then what are the names of the other taverns in case we need to ask them about their people as well?
We got West Bank Pub. They actually do a pretty nice they have a pretty nice wine, I will say so. But they're not as good as we are. You can tell there's a little bit of a competition between the taverns, but hey, you know, they all know each other. And Duncan will continue. There's also the Flagon. That's the other tavern around here too. There's a couple other ones. I can't name the entire list, but if you go to those two, I know those guys well. They'll talk to you.
Is there anybody who isn't suffering from this disappearing workers?
Not that I could tell. Everyone's getting hit.
And it's only tavern workers who have gone missing? Are you aware of anyone maybe working at local flower shops or grocery stores that have gone missing as well?
As far as I know, it's anyone who goes into those tunnels. But because it's only tavern workers who go in the tunnels, they're being taken. The only similarity between all these people is that they've worked. They're picking up some shipments. And, you know, they're on their way back. Or they're on their way there.
Okay. Good to know. That narrows things down quite a bit.
Does anyone have any more questions for Duncan?
Yeah, can I get a refill? I'm going to need another drink if we're going to be doing this all night. Ugh. You want to maybe pub crawl? I mean,
if Candela's paying for it.
Yeah, for sure. Arden says somewhat absently. She's got her notepad out and is furiously scribbling down notes from the conversation.
I'll slide the map down towards you.
Arden's going to kind of make a very quick sketch replicating that map into her notepad just so she has it on her.
Manny will slide it back once they're done and then tuck it into his coat.
It'll pour you, a thing. He's like, there's some customers coming in. If you need anything, just raise your hand. Maeve will turn to you guys. I do think we should look into this, but don't tire yourselves out tonight. You've had a long day. We can start tomorrow.
One more thing, Duncan. Sorry. Do you know when the next shipment is coming in?
Yeah, I should have another shipment at the end of the week.
And GM, what day of the week is it currently?
I want the exact hour and day.
1 second. There's actually not 12 months. There's only 4 months in the hail. So give me a second. Because it is the seasons. Let's say it's a Tuesday. It's spring. And, it's getting late at night. It's probably like 8 or 9 at this point.
And then the shipment date and...
Yeah, the shipment will be probably on Friday. It'll be early in the morning. He's expecting something around, like, 5 a.m.
Manny slides the map over to him and flips it over. Do me a favor, write down... I'll go pick it up. Write down who I'm supposed to talk to and who I'm picking up from. Tell me what I'm picking up, and I'll have it here Friday morning.
All right. And he gives you he writes down the information. He tells you what ship to look out for, which one will deliver his goods, and what to pick up.
Yeah, and the cart and everything's in the back.
Yeah. I'm getting low on carts, too. So if you can find the one that was left in the tunnels, that'd be great.
I'll see what I can do. Secret tunnel.
Under the city.
Nerds. Love y'all. And yeah, with that, decompress a little. And any last conversations we have?
Well, now I'm worried about the flower shop, Arden. Do you know of something that I don't?
No, it was just a general question. And Arden seems genuinely confused about this question. And she's also still... got her focus split as she's continuing to write down notes, just recalling anything she can, putting it down, and also looking back over those notes and trying to preemptively connect any points.
And before you guys separate for the end, Maeve is going to pull Manny aside. I know it's weird being back in Cascadia, but let's not stir up anything of the past, okay?
That is the last thing you need to worry about from me. I left to get away from the past, and... the further it stays away from me, the better.
Good. And we do not speak about Jack.
I know.
All right. And she lets you go. She goes her own way. Not sure where she goes, but she probably has an apartment.
Does Arden notice that Manny's been pulled aside to have this conversation?
Do you want to roll for it?
Sure.
Let's do a survey roll? Actually, no, let's do a read roll.
Read. Okay. It's a 3.
Yeah, you don't really get much. Like, you'll see it happen, but then you get pulled in a conversation with Maud about the flower shop, because she's really into this flower shop.
I'm just going to keep reiterating the fact that it was a completely random example that I pulled from the top of my mind and trying to ease her nerves and reassure her that I know of nothing nefarious and it wasn't a tip at anything.
She's still suspicious.
eventually, I just kind of, yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Just don't worry about it, okay? And I'm going to take a sip from my drink and let her continue eating her carrot.
Do you want one?
I'm going to glance at my now empty glass and at my notes. Yeah, why the hell not? Give me that carrot.
She's got the multicolor pack because of course she does. So you're going to have to pick a color.
I'll take whichever color you don't want.
I'll give you the white carrots.
I'm going to take a bite of the white carrot and kind of hide the fact that I'm almost choking it down.
And I guess with that, we'll take a break here and end the session. Thank you all for playing this evening. Thank you for listening to Momentatellis. Please like, subscribe, and share this podcast on all podcast networks. Follow us on social media at Momentatellis on Twitter and at momento.tellis on Instagram. See you next time.